This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are, how did Huawei bring cheap telecommunications gear to the world? Are you using a second screen while watching TV? No electric bikes or scooters in New York State. And all drone flights will be tracked 3 years from today. I want to welcome you to episode 1414 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, December 26th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Or you can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Got a great show lined up for you today. Absolutely excited. Day after Christmas, kind of slow on the news line, but don't worry. We're good. We're good to go with a whole stack of stuff tonight. But if you're brand new and checking the show out for the very first time, or if you've just gotten a new device and you've happened upon the show, welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. We've got a partner site that goes along with this, our primary site at geeknewscentral.com. Get over to the website, get subscribed to the show. You can do that via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Android, Stitcher, by email, or even an RSS feed. So get over there to Geek News Central, get subscribe to the show. That's what we want you to do. That's the main purpose. If you're listening right now and you're not subscribed and you're part of our family, make sure you get over there and do that. Now, of course, we are live tonight. We're at live.geeknewscentral.com. So you can join us on the live website, get in the chat room, or you can join us on Facebook or on YouTube. But if you're on Facebook tonight, make sure you check in and say hello. But again, we're live really all over the internet. On Twitter, we're on Mixer, we're on just about every live streaming place there is known to man. But anyway, hey, everyone, welcome to the show. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. And of course, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com, or you can listen on your smart home device by saying the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. And that gets you up, gets you running, gets you started. And really, that will get you on that smart home device that everyone has in their home today. So really, there's no excuse to be able to listen to the show. And if you want to get engaged with our Ohana, really all you got to do is, there's several ways to connect with us. We've got a chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon chat server. Or you can join our Slack family just by sending me an email. I'll tell you how to do that here in a second. Or you can join our Discord group. And the Discord group is linked in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. Now, if you want to be part of the Slack channel, again, all you have to do is send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. I'll get you added to the Slack channel, or just drop me a line on Twitter @geeknews. And of course, you can follow me on Facebook just by searching for my name. Of course, we're all partnered up here. Lots of great partner shows. Again, these are all linked to geeknewscentral.com. We got the GNC Week in Review done by Kirk Corliss, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site written by my team, The New Media Show co-hosted by myself, Mr. Rob Greenlee, and the podcast Legend Show. And of course, you can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Now, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of podcasts, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy. As I talked about during the last show, we really need you guys to really consider stepping up. Now, Christmas is over, but we're headed into the new year. So what is that? That is an opportunity for you to, number one, make a New Year's resolution of doing something different, whether that be going to the gym, whether that be eating less, whatever your New Year's resolution is, but it could be a New Year's resolution to create some content and get online. And whether it means starting a podcast or just doing a blog or doing a family diary, really, GoDaddy has all the tools and services that you would need so that you own what you put online. It's not stuck over on Facebook. It's not on Twitter. It's in a stack where you own the content and where you can export the database and be able to control your brand, your destiny, and not beholden to some third party. And you can do that by owning a domain name, picking up a hosting account. And again, all these are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. It is the absolute best deal going. Again, 99cent.coms on a new or transfer domain. 30% off new product purchases. $1 a month economy hosting for the first year, which includes a free domain. $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for, again, for the first year with a free domain. $12. $12 gets you online, gets you running, gets you up, gets you set up. And there is no other deal like this in existence. And really, my promo codes are there for you to save money, help support the show, keeps us going, keeps the bills paid. So definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check out all the promo codes. Again, you are supporting this team. You're not supporting some third party. You're not on some coupon saving site and sending cash to them. You are taking care of the Geek News Central Ohana, our writers, and everything. So definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Grab a code, save some money, make a New Year's resolution to do something cool online, and I'm here with you. And of course, if you ever have any trouble at GoDaddy, we want to hear from you because we got a direct line to any of the team members there that's going to fix things if things gone sideways. And believe it or not, I have not gotten one of those types of emails in a long, long time. So that's a really a good thing. So again, we want to thank our sponsor here, GoDaddy. Check out all the promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Tell your friends, family members, people you know about it. If you're going to a New Year's party, keep your ear to the grindstone. If someone's talking about doing something online, hey, tell them about my website and the promo codes, okay? That's how you can support this show. Just keep it in mind. Everyone, it's not going to happen every time, but every once in a while, you're going to hear something. Matter of fact, I got a call from Christmas. I was making the rounds. My daughter, of course, and her husband, and my granddaughter, her birthday was that day, so we're doing a little FaceTime chat, and my son-in-law got on the phone. He says, hey, I got a friend. He's thinking about doing a podcast. I'm like, okay, you know, I can help you out here. This is how we're going to do this, and so we're going to get him set up with a website and with a domain name, and of course, get him set up with the podcast hosting and all that, and get him up online, but all it takes is just that little drop of a little information. You hear someone talking and say, hey, I got the tools and pieces of people that I know, that I work with, that I listen to on podcasts. And again, definitely check out all the GoDaddy promo codes. Use one if you can. And of course, refer people as well. We definitely appreciate it. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. So let's talk a little bit about New Year's Eve and the day of hell. And I want to say hi to Jody, and of course, Mom's online watching too. Shoke was here in the studio with me as well. She's stashed somewhere. They're watching TV or watching me from afar. I'm not quite sure. But let me kind of get you clued in what happened on New Year's. So Shoko and Chris landed in Chicago at 4:30 in the morning. They had about 2.5 hour layover. They were scheduled to be getting to Detroit about 9:30 a.m., I left the house on time, headed to Detroit, and about an hour out, Chris called me, or actually texted me, said, hey, Dad, the flight's been delayed. And the delay continued and continued and continued and continued and continued to the finally about 6 to 7 hours in, they canceled the flight. Well, they're in Chicago. I'm in Detroit. I'm a four-hour drive from Chicago, from Detroit, and I start heading east. And or west, thinking I'm going to have to drive to Chicago to pick him up. My Shoko's on the phone, and it's pure chaos in Chicago because there it wasn't only their flight. It was hundreds of flights delayed. It was fog issue. The airplane that was coming to get them was coming out of South Bend, which is a short flight, South Bend, Indiana, to O'Hare. You know, they barely get in the air, and they're landing again. I don't even think they even put the landing gear up. It's that short of a flight. So anyway, long story short, she was able to get rescheduled and get on a flight to Kalamazoo. So fantastic. They're going to get into Kalamazoo 12 hours late. That flight was delayed and because of crew coming in. So long story short, I finally did get them about 8:40 or something like that, 8:50. And of course, their luggage went to Detroit. So got them in the car, started headed, it's an hour drive from Kalamazoo to here in Coldwater. Got on the phone, got the luggage people, started in a case, and the luggage showed up Christmas Day about 10:30, which was incredible. Bravo to the guy that was delivering luggage on Christmas Day. So Christmas Day was pretty standard. The family had a nice time. We hung out over eight, drank too much, but it was nuts. United failed across the board. Yeah, so Christmas Eve is just, anyway, it was nuts. So anyway, Christmas Day's good. Today's just been a, you know, almost a normal business day for me with the standard, it's quiet, very, very quiet. Only the diehards are doing stuff and we having some tech support and sales calls and stuff like that today. Tomorrow I've got a light schedule. Then we've got another party, a family party tomorrow night. So really that's what's going on. And then Saturday, a new media show. Immediately following the new media show, the entire family were off to Ann Arbor. My niece is turning 21. Midnight Sunday, I guess Sunday at 00:00, 00:01. So we're going to be in Ann Arbor and going to a cool place, and she will celebrate having her first legal cocktail at 1 minute after midnight. And we're going to take Chris up to see the University of Michigan campus, a little bit of that, and then drive around. We're not going to see too much because it's pretty much closed down. Probably stay in a hotel up there Saturday night. And then getting ready for New Year's. So that's what's going on. But of course, just as a reminder, the schedule for the show is going to remain the same. Monday the 30th, we'll do another show. And then I'll have a show on January 2nd. And the news is definitely going to be light. But it was hopefully there's enough stuff going on. We'll have stuff to talk about. But it just falls out perfect. You know, if the show fell on New Year's Eve, I wouldn't do one. But again, we'll do one on the 30th and do one on the 2nd. And then on the 4th of January, I head out for Las Vegas for CES and really 8 days of pure hell. So anyway, that's what's going on. So let's go ahead and get in the stack. I got a whole bunch of stuff to talk to you tonight about. And again, if you are on Facebook and you haven't said hello, please do so. But there's a fascinating, fascinating article that's on the Wall Street Journal that is talking about Huawei. Now, we know that Huawei has flooded the U.S. and other markets worldwide with ultra-cheap telecommunication gear. Now, number one, they're in China. They have less money to pay employees. They stole all this tech. They stole the IP. So they have all this advantage, right? And they really haven't had to do a lot on their own to get to where they've got. Now, they've had to do some amount of work. But let's be frank. In my personal opinion, Huawei has really kind of stole their way into the marketplace. In addition to that, they received as much as $5 billion in tax breaks, financing, and cheap resources from the Chinese government. Now, think about this. Think about if the U.S. government had given Cisco $75 billion in tax breaks, how it could compete. Now, Cisco still has to innovate. They still have to design. There's all kinds of stuff that they would still be at behind the curve. But Huawei, because they're in China and getting all this financial assistance and state support, again, I say state support, it's no wonder they've been able to come in and be as cheap as they had. Now, why would the Chinese government give a company that's in the telecommunications field as much as $75 billion in state support? Again, they grew from a little known vendor to the world's largest telecom equipment company. This $75 billion helped them offer generous financing terms and undercut rivals by 30%. Now Huawei is vying to be the next generation 5G telecom network. Now, financial support for favored firms and industry is not uncommon in China. It happens all the time. But you got to remember why they are in the position that they are and why United States-based companies are having a very hard time competing with them. And then on top of the other situations with the concern about cybersecurity, and the Chinese government is giving them $75 billion in tax incentives. Who's not to say that Chinese rep said, hey, by the way, could we, have some back doors into your code? Could you make your equipment so that we could pilfer into those? And in a time of war or a time of conflict or time of something that's going on, flip a switch and shut down the U.S. telecommunications network. I'm sure if you're getting $75 billion in tax incentives and financing and breaks, that you're going to say, sure, comrade, no problem. Now, the journal in its research made use of public records, including company statements and land registry documents. The journal verified its methodology with subsidy analysts, including Yusha Halley, professor at Wichita State University and Good Jobs First, a Washington, D.C. organization that criticizes some tax incentives and provides widely consulted subsidy data. State assistance for Huawei isn't always quantifiable. In 1999, China's central government arranged an unusual intervention to rescue the company from allegations of tax fraud, according to accounts by Chinese and other officials. So I just think about this for just a second. It just gives me chills. I mean, I'm in the podcasting space, highly competitive. As a matter of fact, one of our competitors is largely based out of China, and they come in with these great pricing, and I've never understood how they could be so low and still be in business and still make money. I'm not saying that they're getting subsidies, but could they be? And how do you compete against that? So just so we understand the playing field, when it comes to Chinese companies competing against any other company in the world, they have this distinct unfair advantage because they're state supported. Now, tax breaks are not necessarily just in China. That happens here in the United States too. Local governments will give companies tax breaks to move their businesses into a municipality. It's usually in the millions of dollars, not in the billions of dollars. But $75 billion in tax breaks. Can you tell I got a bit of an issue with Huawei? I know that I have rubbed some people wrong that listen to the show. They're big fans of Huawei. You know, I personally wish that they would just be banned from doing any business in the United States whatsoever. But that's my personal opinion here at Geek News Central. And I probably we'll walk by the Huawei booth at CES, and I am not going to even, I'll be honest with you, no coverage from the Geek News Central team for Huawei. Not going to happen. Vendor ban. There's another vendor that might be banned too, depending on how they treat me when I walk into their booth again this year. And it starts with an S, and it's not Sony. So we'll see. But just makes you go, just a little bit. Hey, Dan, thanks for watching the show live. Appreciate it. So this next question I want to ask all of you. It's pretty straightforward. How many of you are using a second screen while watching TV? In other words, do you have your phone or a tablet opened up where you're watching a television show? A study says 88% of Americans use a second screen. And you know, I don't specifically use a second screen to participate in any research of looking up what stuff is happening during a show or texting other people that I'm watching a show. But apparently, many of you do. Many of you do send messages to friends and family members and saying, hey, I'm watching this episode of such and such, and are you watching this at the same time? I guess that's why they have watch parties on Facebook. But oftentimes, I just want to veg out. If I'm watching some television show, I want to put the other device down. I want to absorb what I'm listening to, and I don't want to be bothered. I don't want a social experience. Some of you, I guess, want a social experience. How many of you doing that? 88% of you using a second screen. This, I personally love. I've been in all these cities, traveling all this summer, everywhere and anywhere. And everywhere I go, I see scooters and these electric bikes, a disarray, laying in ditches, laying in streams, piled amongst trash, laid up against fences, walls, never in the racks that are intended for them. But Governor Cuomo today in New York vetoed a bill that overwhelmingly passed both their House and Senate in New York by, I mean, huge margins, 137-4 and 56-6. And he vetoed it and said, nope, we're not going to allow these electric bikes and scooters to be in the state of New York. Now, do those, I don't know the rules. You know, most states can go and say, okay, you veto, just like the president. If he vetoes something, 3/4 majority can override the veto, and it becomes law regardless of the president's veto. So does this, is the same rules apply? What are the rules in New York? I'm not a New York state citizen, and every state is a little bit different, but is this kill it, kill it? And, but I really think that, more cities should actually be banning these things. I know some of you love them. You really do. I know you do. But, and many of you are very responsible. You put them back in the rack. You write them so that you're not running into people on the street. You know, you're doing the responsible thing, but that's like 10% of people. The rest of the people are outright idiots. Writing them while they're drunk. You know, and I think one thing that San Antonio did was they banned the use of them after a certain time in the evening, which makes sense. But they've actually had deaths down in San Antonio because of people getting run into by scooters and so forth. So good on the ban in New York. Can you imagine? You know, think about Manhattan. If you've ever been in Manhattan and walked the streets in Manhattan, it's already chaos. It's already this mass of people. And then you put scooters. Now, bicycles, all they ride the street. There's no issue with people riding bikes. And there's people riding electric skateboards on the street. But, you know, those are folks that are, you know, that's their equipment. They're not going to put it someplace and just dump it. But you have rentals and they just get thrown everywhere. So, I can imagine this just being cut loose for the public in New York, in New York City specifically. It'd be chaos. Next up, a new rule would make it possible to track and identify nearly all drones flying in the United States. This new rule is going to require the implementation of a remote ID system to identify and track drones in real time. This rule has been in the works for a long time. And FAA has said today that under the rules, and again, I don't know all the rules that's going to apply here, but the FAA expects all eligible drones to be in compliance with this within 3 years. And apparently this is a milestone for commercial delivery. So I'm sure they're all for it and they'll be registering their drones. But what about the little hobbyist? Here's the comment. This is an important building block in the unmanned traffic management ecosystem, the rules read. All UAS, unmanned aircraft systems, operating in the airspace of the United States with very few exceptions would be subject to the requirement of this rule. And again, this rule has been in work since 2016 when Congress first directed the FAA to publish guidelines regarding remote tracking. And they wanted that in place by July of last year. So Congress is not happy that they're giving them an additional 3 years. But now they're going to be very, very close on tracking anyone flying a personal drone. And it's a little, to me, it's like if I'm flying a drone under 400 feet on my personal property or my family's property, of which land I own, and I'm flying over land I own, is it anybody's business that I'm flying that drone over land I own? But now it's not. This will report in saying, hey, you know, Todd's drone is flying and passing telemetry back. So it's curious. It is. We'll see how this rolls out over the next, after the next couple of years. Personal computer CPU pioneer Chuck Peddle has died at 82. And I'm going to be honest with you. I am not familiar with Chuck. I don't have my geek creed going on here, but he helped design the chips inside the Apple II and indirectly the NES. He is one of the most important engineers of early home computing. Sadly, died from pancreatic cancer at age of 82. He's best known as the lead designer for the MOS technology, the 6502, a low-cost processor, just $25 in 1975. That found its way in the first wave of home computers like the Apple II and the Commodore PET. I had a Commodore Colt. Variants, that was my first personal well, I had a, matter of fact, I just got it out of storage, a Tandy TRS-80. We'll talk about that on another show because I'm going to try to get this thing up and running and see if it'll, if I can get a boot script into it. But the things geeks do, but anyway, that chip found its way into consoles like the Atari 2600 and the NES. And if you have a nostalgia for the days when 8-bit computers were cutting edge, this gentleman was the guy that did it. And the 6502 most didn't happen. He wanted to design his more affordable chip at Motorola, which was struggling to sell 6800 CPU design kits for a then costly $300. When Motorola was unresponsive to the proposal, Peddle and his 16 members jumped to MOS technology even after the 6502 shipped. It was in danger. Motorola sued months later and tried to halt sales, forcing MOS to sell in 1976. Commodore swooped in to buy MOS soon after, making Peddle its chief engineer and changing the computer landscape with the $495 PET. So Peddle left MOS team in 1980 and worked on lower key projects like the Sirius Systems technology, Victor PC, and removable hard drives that were precursors to external hard drives and USB sticks. So he helped democratize computing by making home PCs affordable. So I did not know anything about him, but we lost a hero here and someone that really made a big difference. Yeah, there's a bunch of you I know that had an Atari 2600 that listened to this show. Some of you had Apple IIs. Some of you had Commodore PETs. Rick says PET AK with a chiclet keyboard and built-in tape drive. Rick says, I had a Commodore PET. I did not, Rick. I had a Commodore Colt. But I didn't jump into the, I went from the TRS-80 then many years before. Then when I went to the Commodore Colt, that was on an 8086 chip, I think. With the, I had to buy a 64 meg external RLL hard drive. I still got it somewhere. That's a piece of trivia. I think that was, I can't remember how much that cost. And that was the days of, I was on 1200 baud modem So that would have been 84, 87, 91 to 94. Boy, that would have been like 93, maybe. I don't know. It goes way back. So, again, that was starting to around the time I was really getting interested in doing the bulletin board stuff. So, anyway, Chuck Peddle dies at 82. And computer legend here. So, absolutely fantastic. And condolences to his family. But thank you for your contribution to where we are today. U.S. CyberCon contemplates information warfare to counter Russian interference in 2020 election. So this is interesting. Someone has done a little bit of a security leak here. Naughty, naughty, naughty. One option being explored, supposedly by the U.S. Cyber Command, would target senior leadership and Russian elites, though probably not President Vladimir Putin, which would be considered too provocative, said the current former officials who spoke on condition anonymity. The idea would be show that the target's sensitive personal data could be hit if the interference did not stop, though officials declined to be more specific. So, anyways, they're going to punch back a little bit. Curious. I don't think I talked about this on the last show. I think I had it tagged up and never talked about it. But the Pentagon has told military personnel to avoid commercial DNA tests. They're worried that they could lead to unintended security consequences. Also, that some of these hot items that were given for Christmas could tell DOD personnel that it could affect them. Basically, some of these tests are pretty conclusive, and they don't want, well, it could disqualify you from a job. I that's my understanding here. Apparently, U.S. intelligence authorities have been increasingly worried that other countries could use DNA, fingerprint, and facial recognition information to expose American national security. Well, they already did with the exposure of all the security clearance questionnaires that they got a few years ago. Ancestry denies it targets military personnel in a statement sent to the New York Times. Meanwhile, 23andMe spokesperson assured the publication does not share information with third parties without separate explicit consent from its customers, which a lot of people give by default. And yet people are finding out that their mothers are not their moms and all kinds of other crazy stuff. Over at space.com, there's a decade in space review, the highs and lows of the U.S. Space Agency in the 2010s. It talks about the last shuttle flight in 2011. You think about how long it's been that long. And we still don't have the ability to take people to space yet. We're close. I think Elon Musk is going to make it happen first, but holy cow. And of course, the Messenger, talking about the Vesta flyby, talk about the Hubble telescope and the Comet Izon fireworks. There's a lot of cool stuff that happened in the space industry in the past 10 years. You know, battles for budgets, President Obama canceling the back to moon money, and then President Trump putting it back in place. And it's just, ping pong back with budgets. But anyway, very, very cool stuff. Link will be up in the show notes for you to review. Queen Elizabeth, on her Christmas message, echoes Apollo 11 moon landing. She says, as a child, I never imagined that one day a man would walk on the moon. Yet this year we marked the 50th anniversary of the famous Apollo 11 mission. The Queen, 93, said as she began her message, as those historic pictures were beamed back to Earth, millions of us sat transfixed to our television screens as we watched Neil Armstrong taking a small step for man and a giant leap for mankind, and indeed for womankind. She says it's a reminder for all of us that giant leaps often start with small steps. She added, Queen Elizabeth recounted the impact of Apollo 11 from her desk in Windsor Castle as the video clips of the moon landing played. So I heard somewhere that the Queen is going to retire in a couple of years and turn it over. I don't know. I heard that. I think it's official, but 93, an amazing run. Absolutely amazing run. But if you think about it, though, She was 43 when the moon landings happened. And wow, long time since we've been back to the moon. I don't remember it specifically. I would have only been, you know, gosh, I think, and date myself here. So, you know, I'd have been maybe five at the time, four going on five. I don't think I remember it. Maybe at one time I did, but still five, those are fuzzy times in anyone's memory. This is something I saw last year at CES. Test your vision and skip the eye doctor with the $60 IQ vision check. This was something that was pretty big at CES last year, and I think it was mostly prototypes, but this is the real deal. And, you know, again, nothing replaces an optometry test. If you have any types of, if you have diabetes, if you have any type of family history with glaucoma or anything like that, you need to go to the eye doctor at least annually. And some folks need to go twice a year. But if, you know, if you don't have a lot of those factors and you just want to do a quick vision test and maybe order some glasses, the $60 IQ vision check might be the, because I've got some of their tests or some, because it comes as a kit where you do the eye test and also they've got a pair of glasses and you take a picture of your face and it gets the right frame set up for you so that you can order frames. It's a pretty slick little deal. So anyway, the link for that will be up in the show notes tonight. Something to consider, but again, nothing replaces an optometrist and getting your eyes checked out. All right, what to expect at CES 2020? And here's something that I just noticed. Uber Gizmo has Lenovo as a sponsor. So what are they talking about in their article? Lots of stuff about Lenovo. But then they talk a little bit about Sonos and computers and smart home products. But we have to be very careful when we're watching and content that's coming out of CES this year, if the content is sponsored or not. So Uber Gizmo is sponsored by Lenovo. So anything that they say about Lenovo, I take it at face value, and I'll be looking for other sites to tell me about Lenovo products. But not saying that Uber Gizmo is going to do a bad job, but it's always suspect. It really, 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 really is. Wrong button there. Okay, so there's a robot cat you can back on Kickstarter. Now, you may have heard about Aibo, the Sony's robot dog. But if a robot cat is what you've always wanted, you're not now able to back this. It looks kind of cute. It's called Mars Cat. It's made by Elephant Robotics. It looks like a cat, but it's really not that realistic. You will not be fooled into thinking it's a replacement for a furry feline. But it seems as if Elephant Robotics is trying to give Mars Cat a lot of cat-like mannerisms. It can apparently do things like bat at toys, stretch its front 2 feet, and even accept chin rubs. Well, what about scratches and bites? Can it do that? It's probably not part of the package. But if you want to mimic real cats, that's what they do. All right, the iPhone XR was a top-selling model globally in quarter three 2019. So this may not come as a surprise, but Here's the top 10 globally. Apple iPhone XR, number one. Samsung Galaxy A10, number two. Samsung Galaxy A15, number three. The Oppo A9, number four. The Apple iPhone 11, number five. And then it just goes down to Oppo A5S, Samsung Galaxy A20, the Oppo A5, Xiaomi, Redmi 7A, and the Huawei P30. The Oppo is big in Asia. The Oppo brand. I don't even think you can buy Oppo phones in the United States. I've never seen one, but I know they're big in Asia. And of course, Samsung is globally. But, it shows you where money's really being spent globally, and Android is important. So all of our Android listeners that are subscribed to the show, we want to thank you. And we do honor Android users by having one-click subscribe on Android or Google Podcasts link on the website so that you can subscribe easily to this podcast with your Android device. Samsung may name its next flagship the Galaxy S20. Well, I would not be surprised because 2020 is right around the corner. So a good rumor. Now, all of us have thought about stocks that we wanted to buy, right? We talked about recently some stocks that were under consideration that was probably a good bet. Netflix, if you bought Netflix, if you were smart enough to buy Netflix when it joined the S&P 500 in 2010, your investment, if you could have had $1 million to invest on Netflix in 2010, that stock today would be worth $43 million, or a dollar, it would be worth $43. This is the best performing stock in the past 10 years. That's a 4,181% return as of Friday's close. It beats all current members of S&P 500. Again, they replaced the New York Times. The index as a whole is up 189% over the past 10 years. So anyway, Netflix, the stock of the decade. We just never know. But I don't even remember what the price of Netflix was in 2010, if the average Joe could have even afforded to bought it back then. But what you do not know, right? Comcast supposedly advanced talks to buy free TV service Xumo, X-U-M-O. I guess that's how it's pronounced, Xumo. Deal would help cable giant Digital ambitions as it prepares to launch its own video streaming service. The talks between the two companies are exclusive. It's possible that negotiations could break down. Financial terms of the prospective deal are not available, but this is a rumor that's being put up by the Wall Street Journal. So we'll see where that goes. Russia, they have created their own internet. Intranet. So Russia's ramped up its balkanization of its technology and infrastructure the past few months. It governs sovereign internet law, which allows content to be blocked in an emergency situation, took effect in November. President Vladimir Putin recently signed a law that bans the sale of devices without pre-installed Russian apps, probably spy apps. Today, Russia's Ministry of Communication announced that it successfully tested a countrywide alternative to the internet. In other words, the great firewall of Russia is upon us. We already know that China, Iran, and Saudi Arabia already have great firewalls. We'll be adding Russia to this. It's their firewalls nicknamed Ruin It. R-U-N-E-T. Ruin It. It's actually Runet, but I'm going to call it Ruin It. They're ruining the internet. Oh, man. So anyway, and then making very difficult for even VPNs to breach their great Russian firewall. So if you live in California, you've got some new privacy rights coming on January 1st. I'm not going to go into this because this is for California specific only listeners. The CCPA is coming, but some of the stuff is being rolled out globally. And again, the CCPA gives social media users more rights when it comes to their data. If you live in California, you know more about this. If you don't, link will be up in the show notes for you to review this tonight or tomorrow on your own. Let's talk about data breaches. This was a great year for data breaches. The number one was the Capital One Bank. This one was a complete mess. Not only did it affect a pretty significant chunk of people, 100 million people in the United States alone, but Capital One did an absolute terrible job of notifying those affected. You know, no credit card accounts or login credentials compromised, but over 99% of Social Security numbers were not compromised. But they did have a huge amount of credit card issues and a whole bunch of stuff. But always read the fine print when a company discloses a data breach. Zynga was another big one, 170.28 million accounts. Of course, Amazon's Ring, the Ring supposedly were not hacked, quote unquote. But people said you need to better be using two-factor authentication with those and better passwords. Disney Plus, well, attackers have been using leaked logins to break into people's Disney Plus accounts, thanks to a huge popular Disney streaming service. Just like Zynga, Disney doesn't offer any kind of two-factor or two-step authentication for your Disney Plus account. Worse, breaking into the streaming service likely also grants you access to person's activities Disney-wide. Collection number one, I don't even know about this. Collection number one, the numbers speak for themselves, 772... 2.7 billion records in total. I don't even know. Oh, that's a collection of passwords that are available. But anyway, you know, the problem with Disney Plus is on my Sony TV, Disney Plus quit working. I got on the chat with a Disney Plus support representative and was on chat with him for about an hour. And his final advice to me was use your Roku. So that Disney Plus has still got bugs per se. YouTube is doing something unique. It's giving creators more control over copyright claim disputes with a new update. If you get a copyright claim on your content, you can now trim the little bit of content that's underneath the under dispute and basically take that copyright violation off the video. And it could be anything, a picture. It could be something playing in the background. I mean, it's so, they are so picky. You can get flagged almost for anything. You know, if you're on YouTube Live and you're in your car and you've got your radio on, you're going to get a copyright infringement because there's music playing in the background, or even you're streaming something, you're going to get hammered. But they've got this ability to trim whatever the copyright issue is, whether it's a picture or whatever. So anyway, that's something they're trying to improve the process over at YouTube. At the same time, YouTube is having so much trouble with kids' videos that they considered screening all YouTube kid videos targeted at kids under the age of 8. And to me, that's just wrong to begin with. But apparently what they found was fake cartoon characters that represented almost like original cartoon characters that were doing things that were inappropriate for any child. And so they had like 40 people that were dedicated to reviewing kids' content to look for inappropriate activity. Please, 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 if you got your kids on YouTube, please monitor what they're watching and, you know, use some guidance here. It's, of course, we're right here at the end of the year. It's list time. The worst tech of 2019, according to Engadget. Number one, the Samsung Galaxy Fold phone. Number two was the Microsoft Surface Pro X. I don't know. I keep hearing good things about that one. The Huawei Mate 30 Pro mobile phone. The Google Wear OS watch. What else? Also, they talk bad about not just services, but they talk bad about Facebook itself, the Google Stadia, talking about 5G. So that wasn't necessarily a gadget, but it just talks about, well, the worst tech. So, of course, we're about ready to be exposed to more Facebook and so tech at CES. Facebook and Twitter will be there. They're gearing up for the tech show. They never in the past were there, but now because they've got gear and partners, they will be there. So Facebook and Twitter will be there making their own news. So we'll see what happens here. Of course, Facebook has a line of portable video chat devices, lots of partners. Twitter has partnerships as well with the NBA and other folks. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the social media giants being at Facebook as well. Last couple articles here. Sony apparently cannot build smartphone camera sensors fast enough. That's despite running its plants 24/7 over the holidays. And Sony is struggling to keep up with demand for its image sensors. And the largest manufacturer controls over 50% of the market by revenue, supplies all of the camera sensors found in modern iPhones. This means, for example, the company sells 12 megapixel sensors for each iPhone 11 Pro that Apple makes. For the second year running, Sony has been operating its chip factories 24/7 over the holidays, and it still can't keep up. And Sony's poured money in increasing its capacity and building a new factory. The schedule opened 2021. So this is a good thing for Sony. And they are on top of their game here. And, you know, it's good to hear Sony get a win because so many Japanese companies have gotten so beat up over the years. It's nice to hear a division of them that's obviously is potentially making a lot of cash. Now, what did you think people were searching for on Google in 2019? What do you think the top searches were? This is interesting. People love cricket. Yes. The World Cup, Cricket World Cup. because the top searches really invoke a lot of cricket searches. India versus South Africa, Cameron Boyce, Copa America, Bangladesh versus India, iPhone 11, Game of Thrones, Avengers Endgames, Joker, Notre Dame, ICC Cricket World Cup. So at least one, two, three, maybe four of these, of the top 10 searches of 2019 were devoted to cricket. So no NFL, no NBA, no, none of that. You know, not soccer, or for those of you overseas, call it football. No, it wasn't. It was about cricket. Yeah, I'd have never guessed, to be frank with you. I really wouldn't. So, also, there's a great article on, it's a new, I picked this up versus using a different site. It's basically the state of the stream 2019 platform wars, the new king of streaming, most watched games and more, and talks about what's being, you know, what's being streamed online. And Twitch is being nibbled away by YouTube Gaming and Facebook Gaming and Mixer. You know, Twitch still owns 75 and 73% of the market respectively. But every platform grew this year. In overall size, a Twitch is over year-over-year growth was 20%, YouTube Gaming 16%, Facebook Gaming, of course, new on the scene, 210%, Mixer 449%, and then it just talks about what was really watched: Fortnite, League of Legends, Just Chatting. No, wait a minute. 2019, League of Legends number one. Of course, my son plays League of Legends. Ugh, drives me crazy. I call him Legend. Fortnite, Just Chatting, Grand Theft Auto 5, Dota 2, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, World of Warcraft, Apex Legends, Overwatch, Hearthstone. Now listen to this. How many hours do you think those top 10 were watched? How many hours were watched on those games alone? 5,038,728,503 hours lost, gone forever, never to be recovered by people watching. League of Legends alone was 990 million hours. To me, it's absolutely insane. Fortnite, I have never watched, never, not a single minute have I watched a League of Legends, Fortnite, any type of gaming ever. I have not watched a single minute of streaming. And I'm sure there's some of you that are the same way, but it tells me that 990 million hours of people were just watching other people play League of Legends. What have we become? What have we become? All right, that's going to wrap up the show here. Day after Christmas. I hope everyone had a great holiday with their family and friends. I know that everyone probably ate too much, but, you know, lazy getting back into the swing of things. Of course, another holiday coming up midweek next week, but I'll be back with you on Monday for another edition of the Geekness Central podcast. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show today, even though we had a tight, you know, tight time to try to get any content out. 53 minutes, not bad for a light news day. I hope those of you that were watching the live stream, thanks for being here. We still got a few people on. I want to thank Rick, Dan, and everyone else that checked in on the live stream today. We definitely appreciate it. I was actually going to go over and look over on YouTube and see if anyone said hello over there. Nope. But we had a lot of people watching on Twitter and Mixer, on Twitch as well. So everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Geekness Central family. Oh, before I go. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot the most important thing. I got a great email from Ken. This is awesome. So Ken said, "Hey, Todd, I'm a longtime listener. I used to listen to the show in the early days, but left for a while and then came back after a few years. The reason I left for a while was I was big into Linux back in the day, and I wanted to listen to more shows about that subject. But as time passed, my enthusiasm for it waned a bit. So I eventually decided I wanted to expand my shows, so I started listening again. I'm still a Linux user, but I'm just not that in-depth into it anymore and like to hear about tech news in general, and your show gives me that. Anyway, just sharing a little bit because I know you like to know why people have left and then come back." Absolutely. And if you're in that category like Ken, who's left and come back, or come and, you know, some people have come and left and come and left and come and left. Especially, Sal, are you still out there in New York? We want to hear from you. But anyway, he said, "In your last show, You asked for some suggestions for some sci-fi books. And I thought I would send you three latest books that I like. Now, Ken, you hit the jackpot because I haven't read any of these. I like the hard sci-fi books, mostly the space opera types. Me too. I don't know how you read your books, but all of these are Kindle versions. Me too. And all of these books are series that depict epic space battles across galactic empires. Fantastic. Hole in one. My first one and the one I'm currently reading is called Interstellar Wars, The Pike Chronicles. I got this one about a month and a half ago because the 5-box set is free in the Kindle version. It's a real page turner. I think I've almost finished the box set and already bought books 6 and 7. My second suggestion is called Blood in the Stars. It's a little much at times, but I got caught up in it and I'm looking forward to the next one when it comes out. My third one is called Lost Starship Series. This one focuses on one main character and follows him and his crew on galactic adventures. I really like this one as it has some really imaginative ideas and literally spans VASS's reach of space. I hope you enjoy one or all of these suggestions, but my apologies if you already read or known about some of these. Nope, home run, three new series for me. Fantastic. I also have a few suggestions for shows. I've been watching on Amazon Prime that I thought would pass along. I'm a recent Prime subscriber and been binge-watching these, so since I signed up, they're not necessarily sci-fi ones, but ones I enjoyed. Here they are. Man in the High Castle. Couldn't get through season one on that one, Ken. The Boys? No, didn't know about that one. American Gods? Nope. Good Omens? Nope. Carnival Row, home run. Good series. Of these, I like The Boys and The Man in the High Castle the best. Okay. You may have already seen one or all of these because I'm new to Prime, a little behind. The Boys was a more of a different show than I expected, but I enjoyed it because of the twisted way of looking at superheroes. It's a bit of a twisted show, but I'm looking forward to season two. Well, that's just it for now to share. Thanks for doing the show, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Regards, Ken. He said, oh, P.S. I'm a listener from, oh my God, I'm going to destroy this. Coquitlam, British Columbia, Canada. He says, have fun pronouncing that city name. Most people have trouble with it. Coquitlam, British Columbia. British Columbia, Canada. I'm good with that, but that's a big area. Thank you for listening and, I hope you're enjoying the warm weather we've had here the few days. It's soon to go away. All right, everyone. And again, 60 degrees here in Michigan today. It was insane. And but anyway, thanks everyone for being part of the hunt. Don't forget, GoDaddy, GoDaddy, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Use the codes, promote the codes, share the codes. And if you don't do that, come on now and become a Geekness Central insider. We need you. Start at $2 a month, 6.7 cents a day. If I'm not worth that, unsubscribe. All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for being here. Thanks for, and I'm just teasing, but come on. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for being part of our ongoing series. Great to be here in the studio doing the shows. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time on the Geekness Central podcast. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.